Welcome wherever you are watching or listening around the world today. We're so thankful that you are here. And think about this. Man, think about how crazy it was this time last year. You remember this time last year? Man, we didn't know which way was up, down, sideways, or in between. And I'm so thankful that God is still allowing us to gather. So wherever you're watching around the world or listening around the world, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to hang out with you. It's an honor and a privilege to get to be here. It's not one that we take lightly, and it's something that we just want to lift God's voice high. And so here's what we're doing as we're about to dive into the book of James. Over these past few weeks, obviously we've been learning about our gifts, our spiritual gifts, what that looked like for each and every one of us. And as we are walking through the book of James, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit speak. Because you know what? What the Holy Spirit has to say to us is more important than any point I give you, more important than anything else I would say. And the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. So over these next few weeks, we are literally going to go through every verse possible in the book of James. So are you guys okay with that? If you're with me, give me an amen. Amen's all around. So as we're getting ready to do that, as we're walking through James, now that we have our spiritual gifts, we know our calling gifts, we know our serving gifts, we know our charismatic gifts, now what in the world do we do with it? We have to learn how to live that out in an authentic Christian life. So before we get to James, I am old enough to remember, and you can agree with me if you do, remember back in the day when Coca-Cola had an ad called The Real Thing? Do you remember that back in the day? Everybody's thinking about it. It was back when we had the Cola Wars, I guess you would say. It was when Pepsi and Coke were like fighting for everything. And it made me think about what we're walking through right now, because in the world we live in, aren't we looking for authenticity? We brand fake news, real news, mainstream media, not media, social media, this media, that media, grandma's media, mama's media, whatever that is. We got all kind of stuff that we go and we look for authenticity all the way through. Yet how authentic are we really? We like to show the world we're authentic, don't we? But sometimes our authenticity and who we really are is hidden. And you see, that's why Jesus came, so that we could be exactly who we were created to be. Our authentic self is out there because that's how we reflect Him the best. And so as we walk through this series, I want to talk to you about James and build it up for a second, give you a little bit of the setting. But today, what James is going to introduce us to is how to live an authentic Christian life, a mature Christian life. So here's the setting as you get to James 1. If you don't have a Bible and get to James 1, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. You can follow along on the Bible app. You can follow along on the Vine Church app. Our Vine production team, make sure it is on the screens and below me wherever you are. So whatever you're doing, James 1 is going to be worth it. But let me give you a little bit of the setting here. So James is the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, okay? So he doesn't believe that Jesus is who he says he is until after the resurrection and Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit falls, and he says, okay, my crazy older brother is who he says he is. So he believes that Jesus is who he says he is. If you were with us in Mark, we just wrapped up Mark 2 on Thursday nights. We were talking about how Jesus had even claimed, hey, the only people who were my brother, sister, and mother are the ones who do the will of my Father, all right? So this is what James is going to help us do, listen to the Lord and do what he says. But just think about that, if that was your brother talking that nonsense, like, who is my mother and brother? Dude, I'm right here. Like, think about James, like the little brother, I'm right here, man. Like, are you kidding me? We're just trying to get in. But instead, now all of a sudden, James knows that Jesus is who he says he is. And what has happened is you're going to see from the beginning of James, the church is scattered because of persecution. Gentiles and Jews are converting to Christianity and they don't quite know what to do. Like, do we have church in the synagogue? Do we have church in the temple? Do we have church at home? Do we have it on a certain day of the week? Do we have it during the night? Do we break bread every time we do it? Like, what in the world should we do? Do we keep old Jewish customs? Do we step into new customs and create new religion? We're going to see what this is. What do we do with this? And so James writes this book around 48 to 50 AD. And when he wrote this book, it would have been the only book circulating at the time in the early church. In the New Testament, what had happened is you hadn't had the apostles writing their books yet. You hadn't had the gospels going around. So James writes this book as if this is the only book a Christian would read for their entire life. And so that is what we look at when we look at the book of James. He is saying, hey, if this is you, if you are a Christian and you don't read anything else in the Bible, in the New Testament, he pens this letter so that you know how to live a mature and authentic life. And that's what James is trying to say, is as a Christian, you aren't just going to say one time, have a commitment, believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Yes, that's going to get you into heaven. Yes, that's going to set you free from sin. But Jesus loves you enough not to stay the way that you are. He wants you to be who you were created to be. And we go through this thing called sanctification and we grow, and that's what James's aim. Make sure we say it. James's aim is so that we mature in the faith. So James 1 is primary and practical. And what we're going to go into is, as we started at this time last year, think about the season we've just come out of. Crazy season, right? Like, insane season. And I'll be honest with you, like, mentally, many of us went through loss. Many of us went through loss, like, of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of just relationships, loss of many things. And I want to tell you, we've been in survival mode, and it's been a trial. Last year was a trial. It was a tough season for many of us. And so what James 1 is trying to say is, we're going to learn about trials in a second, but he's going to say, hey, even though trials happen, are you going to step out of the trial you're in and the season you're in as you go into the new season that has been given with joy or regret? And that's what I want to share with you today, is James is going to help us step into this season with joy and not look back at it with regret. That's what James 1 is all about. So I want to share with you four things that James is showing us to live an authentic Christian life. So if you've got your Bible, literally, we're going to walk through the Word of God verse by verse, and we're going to start James 1, verse 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, he's not saying brother. Look at the humility there. He could have went crazy and said, yeah, it was my older brother. Like, you know who my brother is, right? Like, you know who that is? We got the same mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of thing. No. He says, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Think about that. What if that was it? That was the only thing he said. I love how that verse ends. Greetings. Like, I don't know how else he would do it. Like, I think of that. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So number one isn't revolutionary. If you're taking notes right now, if you're following along in the app, we literally could say this every week and it could be something new. If you're looking, I think the first thing James is trying to show us is trials have purpose. The season we walk out of has purpose. The season we're walking into has purpose. And James looks at it a little differently. If you look at Peter talks about it a little bit differently. He says, hey, you're going to have trials of every time. And when you get to James, remember, James wrote this before Peter wrote that in 1 Peter. He's saying, hey, have joy in the trial. I don't know about you, but it was really hard to have joy in 2020, wasn't it? Like, really, 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 if your joy and your happiness and your peace was found in the world, in your relationships, in finance, in work, in your house, in your car, in the gasoline last week, in toilet paper or hand sanitizer, if your joy was found in that, it was dashed. But James says, hey, listen, have joy in the season you're in because you understand that it is producing something in you. It has a purpose. And what I love about this is so many times as Christians, we believe because we have Jesus at times, we're never going to face trials. I said the prayer, I've committed my life, I've surrendered it to the Lord. Now I can prop my feet up, sit back by the pool, take pictures of my feet looking out over the lake or the beach, and it's going to be easy breezy lemon squeezy until I go to heaven. But you see, all the way through, even Jesus said it in John 16. Remember, he says, hey, you're going to face tribulation in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So James is reminding us, it's not if trials happen, it's when trials happen. And what I want you to see is 2020 for many of us was a realignment, a refocusing. 2020 isn't, the purpose that God had for our life didn't stop in 2020, did it? It's going to continue forward in 2021. It was a realignment. It was for us to understand who we serve, why we serve him, and what is going on. And a matter of fact, 2020 was a big fire for many of us. It was a refining period. It is where God brought us through the fire to show us that we're not alone in it and that we can make it through. And as the dross falls off and we become exactly who he created to be, he molded us in 2020. And I want you to understand that sometimes in our life, 2020s happen day in and day out. Sometimes they have to. Sometimes God has to take us off course to take us the next step deeper into the purpose that he has for our life. And trials are the best way for some of us to do it, because I'm going to be honest with you. Mask. We just got kicked off the internet. Man, have you ever seen such debate over that? Such division over that? In 2019, did you hear that word at all? Would you even think about it? When you thought mask, you said, oh, Halloween. Yeah, here's some candy. Like if you saw a mask, you had two things. Either candy or take what's in the cash register. I don't really care. Like if mask came about, that's where you were. You didn't really care. But now all of a sudden in 2020, there's something in it. Now we say, oh, well, a mask has a purpose. Like what's going on? What if God's doing that in our life? What if he's saying, hey, you saw what happened in 2020? What if you saw that relationships are valuable? What if you saw that literally time is short? We don't ever know when our next day is going to come or whether it isn't. So we've got to live it fully and live it the way Jesus has it. We've got to love those we love. We've got to do everything we can to get people to know who Jesus is, because the time is short. What if 2020 was that for us? What if for some of us, the focus has been our career our whole life, and 2020 happened and we lost our career, and Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to see the purpose that I made you for. And it took 2020 of us sitting at home, not watching Netflix all day, but diving into the Word of God and saying, what would you have me do? Trials have purpose. Because we think we won't have trials when we're a Christian, we think when we go through trials, it means we're outside of the will of God. We confuse trial with conviction. We think that trials mean that we're being convicted of something. And sometimes conviction can happen during trials. But because we walk through trials does not mean that we're out of the will of God. As a matter of fact, most of the time, the trial happens right in the middle of being in the will of God. If you remember when Jesus was with the disciples and he sent them out before him in the boat, and they go, and what do they encounter? The storm in the midst of it. And he's standing up praying, watching them, and he comes and walks on water, and my dude Peter, I'm hard-headed like him, comes and says, Jesus, call me out. He steps out of the boat in faith, and all of a sudden in the midst of that trial, he sinks. Now, if I'm Peter, I'm prideful. I'm like, where were the other 11? Y'all was too busy asleep in a boat being scaredy cats. At least I got out of it. But at the same time, it was in the middle of the will of God that he began to sink. And he cried, Lord, what? Save me. In that instant, he was able to show everyone that all of us need a Savior. And it's like, Peter, you got it. You got it. You figured it out. 2020 is that moment for us, that aha moment. So as the Holy Spirit walks you through the Word of God, I want you to see really quickly in this, your faith, the testing of your faith helps you persevere through trials. So really quickly, three things that trials have that James is showing us. Trials are inevitable. They're going to happen. You can't prevent them from happening. You can't helicopter it enough. You can't hope that it's going to happen. I know they have this term called helicopter parenting. You can't prevent the trial from happening. It's kind of like playing football. You can't prevent being hit unless you sit on the bench. Like, you don't play the game, right? Like, you got to get hit. You can't prevent that from happening. If you play baseball, you got to get hit by the ball to make sure you're not scared of it, right? Like, it's so funny to me. When I was playing baseball growing up, I was afraid of the ball but not the bat. Which one hurts more? Like, let's be real. So, like, and that I had to get hit with the ball a few times to realize, oh, it's not that bad, right? Like, all the way through, we have to go there. So I want you to know trials are inevitable. But the other thing is, realistically, trials are complicated, aren't they? Because we can't understand it. We go to this crazy place where we think God's mad at us. We think, my goodness, I'm out of his will. God hates me. He's judging me. Everything's going on. Trials can be complicated. And in the midst of that complication, just be reminded, the world is chaotic, and the only thing that brought order to the world is God. And so in the midst of that inevitable trial, go to the one who will make chaos, take the chaos and turn it into order, because when we do, we'll see that every trial is productive. Look back over your life. What are we going to say about 2020? Was it productive? Or was it the thing that put us like on a course of sin? James is going to tell us to stay away from that sin. But like, what are we going to choose that 2020 did for us? Was it worth it? Are we going to say that God has us here in 2021 and it wasn't? Or is it going to be that, hey, he's got a purpose for us, even in the midst of this. And when the next pandemic comes and it ain't mask, but it's knee pads, it is what it is, man. Like, if I got to wear knee pads on the next one, I got to wear knee pads. I don't know what it is, but like, it is what it is. Now, if they bring helmets, y'all, I'm wearing my football helmet. I don't know where it is, but I'm excited. I'll feel like I'm part of the game. It'll be good times. And then you ain't got to worry about fixing your hair. It's good times. So whatever that is, wherever you are, know that your trial has purpose. Let's go on to see what James teaches us in verse 5 through 8 and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. We'll come back to that in a minute. Circle that, highlight that. That's just the Spirit speaking to me, but you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that we do. Like, James just comes out heavy-hitting, y'all. He's saying, hey, you're like a wave. If you pray without having conviction that if you ask God to do it, he's already given it to you, then you might as well be blown by the wind. You might as well be the chaff that is separated from the wheat and just taken off in the world, and you're double-minded and you're unstable, and you don't deserve to receive it anyway. Man, that convicts me in my prayer, because I don't do that sometimes. You know, I'm just like, Lord, please let it be zero calories. Like, just Lord, please. Like, Lord, please let this work out. And instead of saying, God, what's your will, and show me how to get through it. James is showing us here, not only do we understand that trials have purpose, but he's telling us to seek wisdom without wavering. Seek wisdom without wavering. Seek the true wisdom you need. We were walking in our Bible Devo. We talked about this, and it was just perfect. The Lord lined that up. The Holy Spirit lined it up. And it made me think of this as we go back in through this when we talk about wisdom. How many of us remember when we had to go to a book, multiple books, to find the answer that we were seeking? Like encyclopedias. Or go to the library to figure it out, because the only on the library's computer, like periodicals. Does anybody remember those where you had the, what is it, microfiche? Is that the film that it was that had to go in there and you had to look up old articles and swipe through to see if you could find the answers in the editorial? Like, I don't know if you remember that, but just so you know, there was a world without Google or Wikipedia. Like, there was a moment in time where all this information wasn't instant. And see, here's the issue we have. Because we have knowledge, we think that we have wisdom. Because knowledge is just having access to the information. We have information so fast that it's boom, 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 like nanoseconds now. It used to take a minute. I don't know about you, but growing up, I remember like the little loading bar. Like, that is something that people hate now. Like, if they've got a loading bar on their internet, it's too slow. Like, people just get frustrated by that. But I remember like the little spin, or like the Windows logo, like pressing in and out. I don't know if you remember those days, but like, it was just one of those things. Or God forbid AOL when it came dialing up. Like, whatever that was, like, if you remember, there was a moment where you couldn't find the information fast, so you couldn't get knowledge fast. But because knowledge is at our fingertips and information is at our fingertips, we think we have wisdom. But knowledge isn't wisdom. Knowledge is knowing the information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the information. Wisdom requires action. And so where am I going with this? We have to seek God, the creator of the universe, for his wisdom. Because he's going to show us how to put that information he gives us into action. What I'm saying is, so many times we expect God to be a genie in a bottle, and we think his wisdom's just going to come like that, instead of in his timing. And in his timing, his wisdom will show us, and maybe we just aren't ready to receive what he has for us. But we've got to pray with belief that we are going to receive it. Otherwise, James is saying, hey, you're double-minded, and you're unstable in all that you do. So here's what I'm saying. Don't confuse knowledge with wisdom. I can know the Bible inside and out. The Pharisees knew the entire law and more, all 600 plus laws, but it never got them in relationship with the Father.
It took wisdom. What do you do with that? And that's receiving the free gift of salvation, knowing that Jesus is here for a purpose, with a purpose, and that we were created for that as well. So the question I have for you are you relying on your knowledge? Or are you leaning into God's wisdom? Because we are supposed to seek his wisdom without wavering. Because if you look, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? You ask God. And what happens when we ask God? He gives how? Generously. Not begrudgingly. Not with a checklist of items that we have to do, but generously. Who does he give generously to? To all. So to all who ask. If you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give generously to you. How? Without finding fault. If you seek God for wisdom, he didn't say, Tyler, you ate 3 muffins at breakfast today, so that ain't going to happen. I'm not going to give you wisdom to get through the day. You pulled into Krispy Kreme when the hot and now sign was on. I'm not giving you wisdom today. It's not going to happen. Tyler, I saw you go load those trash bags up with gasoline when everybody else was. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give you wisdom today. I'm not giving you wisdom today. No. When I seek him, surrender to him, and say, God, what would you have me do today? Use me as you will. He will show me what he would have me do today. Generously. And so I just want to say, do we believe that God wants us to gain his wisdom? Because if we believe with conviction, what that literally means is when we pray, we believe like it's already been settled. When's the last time we prayed like it's been settled? I mean, that's something the Spirit challenged me with as I've been continuing to get ready. Always, the Spirit's always challenging me. The question is whether I step into it or not. But when's the last time you prayed like it's already been settled? God, give me what I need. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Do you trust him with that, or do you say, man, I got nothing for lunch in this house. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? Where do we go? Many of you are going to make that decision in a minute. Where to go for lunch? Like, what are you going to do? Are you just going to trust him? It's already been settled. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You're going to trust him. You're going to trust that he's not going to lead us into temptation. Are we going to let temptation drag us away, as we see James talk about in a minute? Are we going to trust with conviction that it's been done? Let's go. We got a big breath in this one. If you're with me, say amen. I love this. Everybody's still with me. Okay, verse 9 to 18, it says this. Here we go. Here's the big one. This is where everybody walks out in America. Okay, here we go. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high positions, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. James, don't hold back, y'all. Since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Dagger, like right there, right? I'll say this before I move on. Did you know that if you make more than $8,000 a year, I think it's the number now, it might be more inflation, don't get mad at me, $8,000 more a year, you're in the top 1% in the entire world, you're the richest people in the world, yet we quabble over who has what here. Think about that. This is why I said it's a shot at us in America. Think about it. What are we doing with our riches? Are we being prideful in it and trying to advance ourselves? Are we understanding that everything he has given us is steward, and that the more we give it away, the more we'll get it back? That's what James is pushing at here. Verse 12, he's not saying, hey, if you're, because there are rich and poor people. There was no middle class in the church at this time. Remember, this is Roman occupation. You're either really rich or you're really poor. It's one of the two. So James is saying, hey, poor people understand. If you're poor, there's something about that. It makes you understand what submission means and surrender means. But if you're rich, don't be rich just so you can say, I am rich. Instead, that is when you get to serve one another. Verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. He goes back to that. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death.
Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. If that don't get you excited, praise God, he does not change. The same yesterday, today, and forever, even when this world changes, he does not change. He chose to give us birth through the word of the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits to all he created. So not only do we know that trials have purpose, not only are we supposed to seek wisdom without wavering, we're supposed to seek God over the temporary. James is saying, don't get caught up in this earthly wealth. Don't get caught up in your bank account. Don't get caught up in how much is in the pantry. Don't get caught up in your career. Don't get caught up in your home address. Don't get caught up in the car or cars you want to own or drive. Like, don't get caught up in all that. Look to God. Seek him for wisdom and understand when you do, you're not going to see the humiliation of the fall, because the sun rises and falls on the poor just like it does the rich. And the flower will wilt today. It's here today, gone tomorrow. You know, you can read in Proverbs, it says it rains on the just and unjust. If you go through, it talks about Jesus, talks about Solomon and all of his splendor, and the flowers of the field saw nothing compared to what was happening when he was here. So what am I getting at? If God has blessed you, and in America, we're blessed to be a blessing, period, period, period. And so he is saying all the way through, when we understand that we are living in surrender to the world, we'll look poor. How stupid to give to a church that gives to other churches around the world. How dumb. How crazy is that? We're going to see how that plays out. It's actually not crazy. It's what God has called and created each of us to do. If he has the cattle of 1,000 hills and he gives me one, should I not give it away to see what he could do with it? If he gives me 5 loaves and 2 fishes, should I keep it to myself and try to not tell anybody I've got it? You know, eating my, hey, you got fish breath. I smell tuna. Does somebody have tuna? Or should I see him feed 5,000? Which one am I going to choose to do? Because if I seek God over the temporary, I'm not worried about just getting through lunch. I can see that it's not just about getting through lunch. It's about bringing heaven to earth and ushering in the kingdom, which is what he created me and you to be a part of. So the question is, do we trust that God is in control of all of it? Do we trust he's in control of all of it? Do we trust that he's in control of 2020, that he's in control of 2021? Or do we think that he doesn't know what's going on? He's waiting on the app to tell him which turn to take next. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds. He's changing like the shadows change every day with the time. Or do we trust that he is in control? Do we understand that? Because if we do, then we will not let sin be our pattern. And that's what James is saying, is as you come out of this season mentally, I'm telling you, we're about to step into a season of addiction like never before. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you've ever been through grief and loss, you go through ups and downs. If you've ever been cancer, we have folks who have been through cancer. Every one of us have been touched by cancer. But there's a moment in cancer when you're in survival mode, and you're just trying to get through the therapy. And once you get through it, there's a process that has to take place mentally and physically. Grief is the same way. We are in a grieving period right now. We have just stepped out of absolute trauma in 2020 mentally. And 2021, who are we going to run to? And what are we going to run to? Are we going to run to the one that never changes? Are we going to run to the thing that temporarily satisfies? That's what James is saying when he says, hey, don't let sin be your pattern as you step in this new season, because when you look back on that season, that's going to be the season of regret, not joy. And when you walk through the trial, that's why you want to walk through it with joy, not regret. Because I want to tell you, any trial I've walked through where I've been shameful and regretful to it, it's all about me. But anything that I can walk through with joy is because Christ is with me through the fire, and I can have peace in it no matter what happens. And so James is setting us up for where we are in the season we're in. He goes on in verse 19 to say it this way, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. We'll come back to this in a moment too. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Grow roots.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. Their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James comes in hard on chapter 1. He just comes in, he comes out swinging. So we got to know, trials are going to happen. And when they do, they have purpose. We've got to seek wisdom without wavering. And how do we seek wisdom without wavering? We seek God over the temporary. Because once we do that, we can set our priorities by God's grace. We got to set priorities by God's grace. That's what we have to do. James says in the beginning, he says, hey, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So as we're setting our priorities by God's grace, remember your grandmother, your aunt, or somebody in your life always told you, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? Listen first, then speak. Listen first, then speak. Because if you don't, usually anger rises up really quickly. Because when you're angry, do you really hear what the other person is trying to say? You're trying to figure out how to one-up them. You are. And this is the thing. This is why I'm telling you, when I'm telling you addiction is the season that we're in, I want you to understand and what we're going by and what we're walking through while we're about to step into this trauma is, did you know that anger is a secondary emotion? Anger is an emotion you choose to go to. Anger is an emotion that we use to mask something we don't want to deal with. That's what addiction is. Same exact thing. Anger is something we choose to go to. And you say, but Jesus was angry and he flipped tables. Well, hang in here with me. You're going to see something here. That righteous anger, you're going to see where I'm going. Anger is a secondary emotion. Many times the reason that we are angry is we are dealing with rejection. Rejection of self, rejection of gifts, rejection of something. And the reason Jesus was angry and flipped tables is they were rejecting his Father and rejecting him as the truth, because he is the truth. For you and I, the reason we are angry many times is fear of rejection. And we don't want to process it, because when anger comes out, what happens? You take it out on someone or something, right? Someone is the one right in front of you. They just caught you at the wrong time. Something is the hole you punched in the wall, the pillow that you beat the crap out of, the car you wrecked, the person at the red light you told they were number one. Like, someone or something anger makes you take it out of. And let me tell you why that's important. Fear and anger feel the same to us. Biologically speaking, your adrenal glands go and overflow, and it takes blood from your brain and brings it to your muscle and invokes the fight or flight response. Fear and anger both do the exact same thing. So to us, we think that many times we've mistaken our fear for anger, and so we act out in anger when our fight or flight response happens. And what ends up happening usually when you're angry? Number one, you can't think straight. Well, it's because you ain't got blood coming. You ain't got oxygen coming to your brain. They're going to your muscles. And what happens when you're angry? You fight and somebody flights. It's one of the two. Like, that's what happens. You have the fight and flight response. And so what I want you to understand today, the reason James is saying this, and I want you to see how we are built, is anger is a choice we make. If we're listening before we speak, more than likely we won't choose anger. Don't mistake anger with being upset. Completely different. Don't mistake anger with conviction. Understand what I'm telling you. Anger is something that makes us want to strike at someone or something. And so wherever you are, if you're listening before you speak, anger won't follow. It just won't follow. It'll be slow. But if you're all about speaking before you listen, I promise you, anger is all over your radar and you're all up in it and you're living like the rich person who's prideful in everything that they do. And so for each and every one of us, I want you to see this authentic thing with anger is this. Anger is the greatest way as humans we mask our authenticity, because it's inauthentic. It's something we don't want to deal with. We don't want to deal with rejection. So we get angry. We don't want to deal with rejection that obviously everyone that's running red lights in Spartanburg County wants me to stop at everyone on the way to where I'm going.
We don't want to deal with rejection that they didn't like the gift, or they didn't react to that, or they didn't like this opportunity that I've given. They didn't like that I loved them the way that I loved them. They didn't like that. We deal with that rejection. We deal with how in the world could they treat me this way. We got to process the rejection. And here's the thing I want to tell you. Just because you're treated badly or abused doesn't mean that that's where Jesus wants you to be. So hear me out. That rejection, we're supposed to lay at his feet, because there's no one I know better that's ever walked this earth that's dealt with rejection than him. We got a bloodstained cross that shows us that. A bloodstained cross where he came and did that. So if we can lay that rejection to him, anger shouldn't follow. And it doesn't mean that we don't make hard decisions and we have to draw lines and understand what we need to do in our relationships. But when we're constantly running to anger, I want to change the name of Twitter to outrage. It's the same seven letters, and that's all it is. Outrage. Social media, just outrage. Like, who can scream the loudest at somebody for something? Like, your mask is purple and it's supposed to be blue or orange or gray or magenta or chartreuse. I just threw a color in there. It is what it is. Like, it's supposed, and so it's outrage, 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 outrage. Why are people so outrageous? Rejection. The world doesn't know how to deal with rejection. You see, we are rejected because of our sin. And the only way we deal with it is Christ Jesus, the one who knows it. Because the wages of that sin is death. The wages of sin, that's what James is saying, is, hey, sin will always leave a wake of devastation that is death. And because of that rejection, God said, I'm making a way for you to be welcomed in and not be rejected, that can only be found through Christ Jesus, who lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty for that sin on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. We get to be our authentic self by the Holy Spirit inside of us that raised him from the dead. We get to live that out. So what do I mean by set priorities by God's grace? Well, we have to increase our grace quotient. We got to be real. We got to be authentic in where we're broken with our relationship with God. What is in our life that is breaking our relationship with him? What is in our life that is breaking our relationship with ourselves when we look in the mirror and we don't even remember what we see? And where are we broken with those around us? We got to be authentic. And here at the Vine, what I love is we have created a culture where it's okay to not have it all together. It's all right. It's okay to be authentically you. But I want you to know that Jesus loves us enough to not be authentically the world's, but authentically his. He will change us to be who he created us to be. And that's the culture that we have to have, constantly growing deeper roots in him and together. Because the thing is, if we don't, we'll perform to get his commitment. And our performance means nothing to him. We don't perform to get God's commitment. We do the works he calls us to out of his commitment to us. And that's what James is saying, is we have to be careful, because so many times we can mess that up. We can mess that up. And it'll make us angry. It'll make us angry at God. It'll make us angry at God. It'll make us angry at each other. And instead of that, he's saying, hey, increase the grace quotient and understand authentically where we are. Because if we don't, anger will rise up. And I don't know about you, I don't remember half of what I say in anger, and I'm pretty sure my words tear down, not build up when I'm angry. I'm pretty sure all of us can say that we're there. Because if we're angry all the time, we can't do what we're called to do, which is, James says here, to do the work of the Father. The Father accepts pure and faultless this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Polluted, what a word. He knew it back then. We talk about that now more than ever. But this is why this is important to me. You see, I was that widow's kid in church. I was that widow's kid. And what I love about what we do at the Vine is we just celebrated Mother's Day and we talk about it. We support mothers of all kinds. Widows, single, new, can't afford formula, baby. We support that. And I love that. We support orphans. We support children who don't have parents, because we know what it's like to be an orphan in our sin and not have a family.
and to be disconnected and left out and rejected, and the anger that rages up inside of us because of that. But instead, we realize we were created for something more, and that God made a way through His Son to do that. And so, what am I getting at? Why this is important to me is, if you ever go back and look at the parable where Jesus talks about the king separated the sheep and the goats, remember, He looks at him and says something to him. It's Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, if you ever want to go look that up. And He looks and He takes the sheep. And remember, He looks at him and says, "Hey, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I had nowhere to go and you welcomed me in. I was in prison and you visited me." That's the calling and the purpose of the church. Us. And every trial will lead us to live that out fully. And that's why a church that cannot be in a building, almost 4 years old, will continue to sow into the world, the local church around the world, as well as the community, because it's not about a building. We'll get there one day. It's not. We'll get there when God's ready. It's about His building inside of us, growing to the ends of the earth. And that's why I love what we do, and why God has gifted us and called every one of us to be here and given us these spiritual gifts that come together. That's why we matter to each other. That's why it matters that we're here. That's why it matters that we go and share and invite and talk to people about Jesus and share with them, "Hey, I was broken, angry, rejected, left out in the cold like the prodigal son, chased everything this world could ever come and try to give me, but instead Jesus made a way." Or maybe some of our story is, "I thought I had all the answers. I grew up in church. Religion told me I knew what to do, but I didn't have the wisdom of the next step to take in it." Let me tell you what Jesus has done in me. That's what James 1 is about. James 1 is about us growing in wisdom. Because when we do, one day when the sheep and the goats are separated, we won't be the goat that said, "But Lord, we served you and performed acts. When did we see you hungry or naked or homeless or in jail?" And what is it He says? "What you did for the least of these, you did also for me." That's why I love what we get to do at the Vine. That's why I love how we give. And that's what I would tell you, as the Holy Spirit is working in us in this series and these gifts He's given us to be authentically who we were created to be. I just want to ask you and tell you, don't let today go by without talking to someone, specifically God first, but each and every one of us here, how you are authentically. How are you? We don't get to do that often. In this world we live in, it's easier not to do it than it is to do it, isn't it? It's easier to hit the like button. It's easier to hit the love. It's easier to say prayers up than just to say, "Okay, what outside of prayer, what can I do for you?" Be authentic. Let's be authentic. Do you know how much the world is searching for that? Do you know if you authentically went into your workplace tomorrow and we went out on Monday and was just authentic about where we're, not jerks, because you can be authentic and be a selfish narcissist. If you're not in Christ, you absolutely are, because we're a wreck without Him. I mean, authentically who we are in Christ and say, "This is where I was. This is where He has brought me, and He's got so much more in store for me and He does for you too." Imagine if we did that. We say, "This relationship was broken, but only in Christ Jesus was it restored. And because of that, I can tell you that there is hope with what you're walking through." What if we did that? You know how the world would respond? "Get me some of that. I don't need no TP or no gas or no hand sanitizer. I want me some of that." That's what the early church had. And that's why the church spread so much. And that's why James is telling us in James 1 that we have to be authentic. In other words, we've got to grow deeper roots in Him and deeper roots together. So wherever you are right now, maybe you just need to be authentic with God. Don't let today go by. You think God doesn't know how you feel? You think your prayer without conviction, God doesn't know what your heart is when you're just like, "And God, just let it be okay. Just be real. He can handle it." Why do we treat God that He can handle it? Tell Him where it is. Tell Him how you feel. I read David all through Psalms. He didn't hold back. My goodness, one minute he's telling God, "You're the greatest." And the next minute, "Why aren't you saving me from my enemies? These crazies are at my gate. They're at the door. They're waiting for me to die. Where are you, God?" Wherever I go, there you are. Like, whether high or low, He was real. We got to be real with God authentically. And we got to be real with each other authentically. And that's what I want to ask you today is, where are you authentically? If you're in Christ Jesus, see what he would authentically be growing you to be through this series. But maybe you aren't in Christ Jesus. And 2020 has showed you more than ever, hey, the things of this world will fade away like the flowers of the field. One day it's here, and the next day it's gone, kind of like weeds, like dandelions. They keep showing up. It's not like clover, but it's one day it's here, and the next day it's gone in the season that we're in. And you can see that 2020 keeps happening over and over and over and over and over in your life, and you can't figure out why, and you're looking for the next thing to chase to bring you satisfaction. And I want to tell you, nothing in this world will bring you satisfaction. There's not an alcohol, there's not a drug, there's not a job, there's not a career, there's not a dollar in the bank account, a car in the garage, a house address that will ever really bring you satisfaction. The only thing that can bring you satisfaction is Christ Jesus, because everything else will only lead you to rejection, because it will lead to death. But only Christ will lead to life. And the thing is, you don't have to have 12 steps to receive Jesus. You don't have to go through all of these motions in a class to do it, or go through all these things and be confirmed and reminded every, be know all the Torah or know all the books of the Bible. You don't have to know all that. All you got to do is believe and receive. Romans 10:9 reminds us, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because without Christ, we are good for dead, but with him, we have life. And so today, with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do each and every week is for each and every person to know who Jesus is, be authentic with ourself, and be authentic that none of us have it together. All of us have been rejected because of sin in our life, but God made a way to not live in rejection, but instead live in acceptance. And it could only happen through his son, Christ Jesus, who came, lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, died the death we deserved, paying the penalty for that sin on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that we may have life. And so the question is, have you ever considered Jesus? The skeptic here, you're going to say, but I don't have all the answers. And I just want to tell you, wherever you are, if you're a skeptic, it comes from faith. Faith. You're going to receive Jesus by faith. And I just want to ask you, if you say, well, that's crazy, I don't have faith in anything, you don't know how electricity works, and I don't either, but when you go to that light switch, you have faith that it's going to turn on. And so I just want to ask you, if you can have faith that a light switch would turn on, would you have faith in the creator of the universe, who loves you more than you and I ever know of ourselves, in spite of ourselves, and blesses us in spite of ourselves? Would you trust that he is who he says he is, and have the faith to believe that today? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat this prayer after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you, step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or listening throughout the week, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to boldly take a next step today. On the count of three, would you respond by raising your hand? 1, 2, 3. If that's you right now, would you raise your hand? If you're watching online, there's going to be a hand raised that you can click. If you're listening throughout the week, please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv, or you can click on a comment to let us know. We would love to follow up with you. Send us a Facebook message. Text us at 864-580-6698. If you're in the app right now, connect with us through that. We would love to celebrate this decision of faith with you, because I want to tell you, no matter what this world throws at you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whether you're walking with him on the beach or you're walking with him through the fire, he will be with you step by step all the way. And so we want to celebrate that decision and walk with you through those next steps. And for the rest of us, you can look up. We're about to have a time of worship. One of my favorite songs we're about to sing here in a moment. And it's It Is Well. And I want to say, as we come out of 2020, I want us to celebrate saying 2021, it is well.
It is well. We're about to go into Memorial Day here in just a moment, and a couple of weeks, wherever you're listening, that's the time that we're doing this in a few weeks. And I just want to tell you, this time last year, I don't know if many of us could say that we believed with conviction that it is well, but I want to tell you, wherever we are, if you are in Christ Jesus, it is well with our soul. Our salvation is won. He is here. He has overcome this world, and he has let us be a part of what he is doing to build his church. So in this moment, would you just authentically be where you are and just tell Jesus maybe where you aren't well? Maybe you aren't well in moment. And would you say, Jesus, I'm going to lift this up to say it is well because I know you're over it. So would you please stand and sing with us?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
my soul.
dwell in my soul. Dwell in my soul. Dwell in my soul. Dwell in my soul.
That's what we want always, is to be able to sing that, because that's what Christ wants for us. And so I'm so excited to continue in this series as we go to James 2 next week. Thank you for hanging in there with me, verse by verse. But I believe the Holy Spirit has something for us as we sit under the authority of the Word of God and we seek Him in it. I'm telling you, we're going to walk out of this series better than how we walked in it. And I pray today, wherever you are, that you leave here better than how you walked in. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have an awesome week. Jesus, thank you once again that we get to be here. We've done none of this to deserve this. Thank you that you love and bless us in spite of us, that in a world full of rejection, that we can be found and accepted in you, and that sin in this world will always lead us to rejection. But Christ, because you are who you say you are, and we have by faith received you, we can authentically be who you created us to be from the foundations of the earth. So thank you, Jesus, for that. I pray as we go out into the world that we would be your light, that we would be your mirror, we would be your reflection, and that when others see us, they would see us authentically. And when we are authentic in you, Jesus, you are reflected the most clearly. So I pray we would reflect you throughout the week. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe you let us get to do this. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week. And the best is still yet to come.